Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Breakfast of champions. Banana and 3 hard-boiled eggs.
That's a good breakfast, brother. I'm not kidding. That is a really nice breakfast for you right
there.
With
a little coffee and almond milk.
There you go. That's a healthy breakfast.
Add where you don't have to substitute, because I feel like after this, it's going to be Bruce Bongtrotter, or we're all going to get called lard ass because we're going to eat like 17.
Well, you're getting ready to eat beignets after the show today.
Never had one.
So it's a bag of fried dough with powdered sugar on top of it.
Sounds
so
perfect.
Clean your veins now with the hard-boiled eggs and the bananas. And also, too, the hard-boiled eggs, man, somebody peeled all those eggs. Could you imagine having to do that? Sit up there and peel all the eggs for everybody down here today?
There is.
That or shucking oysters all day?
Oh, shucking oysters, no question.
Really?
Much better. I mean, peeling eggs? I mean, God. You get little tiny pieces
of the little flakes.
Just awful, you know?
It's like fiberglass of food.
Yeah, who the hell wants to sit there and peel eggs? I mean, but give me the oyster shucker all day, man. Yeah.
Don't forget big game coverage on 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Member owned, open to all, invested in you. Join today at communityamerica.com. We'll keep you posted. We'll keep you posted on the rest of the afternoon with the Maggie Sajak. I think she might be into your boy, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. It might have been the lavender.
Did she get your number?
No, but she wanted it.
Did she give you hers?
No.
No, but we could see it was going
there. Oh, it was going.
Obvious.
Of course.
Come on.
It was going there. That's right. It's like my friend Drew at the strip club. I think she likes me, guys.
Well, I'm just telling you, Mac is, I've known Mac for, what, 6 months?
6-7 months.
So we're not like, you know, boys like you and Ralph or like me and my buddy Paul or anybody like that or my buddy Nick.
We're
or
getting
a lot of guys. But we're getting there. Like last night we were sockless watching NBA. And I mean, I'm not going to lie to you, dude. This guy's calling out names. I think
you've never heard of these people.
You have to watch an NBA
No,
game.
I don't.
No, I'm telling you, dude, you will be so impressed when you watch an NBA game with Mac. He's like, come on, chances. I'm like,
what?
I'm like, who's this guy? He's like, normally he puts up like 6-8 tonight. He's having a really bad night. So what do? We found out, obviously, you can sports gamble in New Orleans.
Right.
So we open up the app. I'm like, dude, I guess the way you're talking, I like Orlando in this. Live bet Orlando. Orlando lost.
Yeah, of course they did. Yeah. That's right.
And we just keep going. But no, I was really impressed. But no, I'm not kidding, man. When we walked out of that busy atmosphere that a lot of people were at, you know, can I buy a DIU? I can't even spell my name. She looks over. Dusty, have a great night. Nice meeting you.
Mm-hmm. Did she use your name?
No.
Oh.
Damn.
No, but it's better
now,
for the story.
Yeah, right. Like, she uses your name. Well, okay.
Oh,
now we got something going.
It's a lot like when Cinderella left the glass slipper at the ball.
Uh-huh.
I got to go find her. I got to introduce a gang.
Right.
Look, when you're famous and you meet somebody once, right, you never remember them.
Right.
It's kind of like, what's his name? Cam Jurgens last night gave me the most professional I respected it response from an athlete to a media member. We were going to get him in for an interview, talk about the Chiefs defensive line. He had already done like a weird 5-minute interview with some other dude. I didn't really understand the concept of that interview. And he turns around and he's going with Peter Schrager in like 5 minutes. He got the update. And I was like, hey, man, you got a couple minutes? And he was like, I'm going to go with a familiar face. Sorry.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, I would hope that like the team that I cover would do that for me. And I was like, no, dude, I respect it. He was like, no problem. Like, it was kind of a, you know, yeah, sorry, nerd, get out of my way, but I know this guy, not you.
Yeah, I
which
mean,
he, you know, could have been rude about it, but he wasn't.
Right.
So, as we continue coverage here in New
Orleans.
He had
the best hair of the Super Bowl, though, I'll tell
you
that right now.
It's definitely a fresh cut
mullet. It is.
That's
I mean,
what a mullet should
great.
Like. I mean, there's another man out here rocking a somewhat mullet that I don't know what the hell he is doing.
Yeah.
I don't know if his wife has threatened to leave him or what is going on, but that looks like a cry for help.
It really does. It looks like my mullet from COVID, and that was not a good thing. And the only reason I had it was because I couldn't get a haircut.
And it just grew that, like, trashy way.
Yeah. It just kind of, like, flaked in the back. And I'm like, what the hell? I'll combine it with a mustache and see what we
can do. Bob's hair was so out of place that his his HOA came in and said, hey, man, you got 2 weeks to get the thing cut or you guys are out.
Got to cut it. You got to get this thing trimmed, man. Yeah. It was awful. Like, so, yeah, I know the mullet you're talking about, and it is really bad. But Cam Jurgens last night, I put a picture of him on X as well. The mustache plus the hair. Real nice. Real nice for Cam Jurgens.
Yeah, so I think this guy that made this graphic on X, his name is Elliot, right? That's his name?
Elliot.
I think he's going to go on the drive. I saw somewhere on Twitter that Carrington had alluded to it, but he's out here as well, really giving this whole – because you said the narrative is Saquon Barkley and the Philadelphia Eagles can win this game, and a lot of people think they will. The other one that we're starting to notice that makes Mac roll his eyes is the roster talk, right? Like, I agree that from top to bottom, player v. player, Philadelphia probably has a slight edge with roster, right? I think their receivers are better because, A, they're more experienced and they've proven it, right? Like, that's the same conversation. Their running back is the best running back in football. The only comparison you would get is if it was Philadelphia, Baltimore in the Super Bowl, and it'd be like Derrick Henry or Saquon, where do you want to lean? And I think a lot of people, 90% of people, would still lean towards 26 for Philadelphia.
In a heartbeat, 10 times out of 10.
But again, he has here, it's Super Bowl 59 rosters. Quarterbacks, and it's into three different categories. Elite, average, bad.
Right.
Elite is Patrick Mahomes, and then a little bit of distance, Jalen Hurts.
Which we can talk about Jalen Hurts. I'm more of a Jalen Hurts fan than anybody in Philadelphia,
though?
But he's not elite, right? Like, I think we throw the terms out there that we want to use that don't necessarily apply. The term great is overdone. The term elite right now, when it accounts for Jalen Hurts, is overdone. Like, he's a very good quarterback. And again, I'm kind of finding myself to be a Jalen Hurts apologist at this point in time because I think he's good.
Yeah, but when you list the top six quarterbacks, you don't even
think about Jalen Hurts.
And that's not
right.
A shot, dude. Right. That's just talent in the NFL where I think the elite number is five.
Right.
I wouldn't even put Jaden Daniels in elite yet. He's too young.
No,
he hasn't shown.
Too
he's
early.
Great. He's not elite.
We didn't put C.J. Stroud there yet, right? You need more time.
Well, yeah. I think there's one elite quarterback. It's Patrick Mahomes, and it's everybody else after that. And I think it's Patrick Mahomes and then Gap, and then it's the guy in Buffalo who's changing rules by the day, and then it's Joe Burrow who's only been the two playoffs, and
Lamar.
Then it's Lamar. I mean,
that's the list.
Like, Jalen Hurts beats Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. He usurps a lot of those guys, and you could make the case now, is he the second-best quarterback in the NFL? Two Super Bowls, 3 years, beating Patrick Mahomes. It's more than Josh Allen's ever done.
If he plays really well, I agree. If he's a huge part of that game, that win, then yes.
But I think he has to be this win, though. I think if Philadelphia wins, Jalen Hurts has to be a big part.
This is where it gets really fishy. Obviously, the running back, they have average for the Chiefs right in the middle. They have Saquon Barkley basically like tipping the scale of elite. And then they have tight end.
Right.
They have Dallas Goedert slightly ahead of 87. I'm not going any further. Let it happen.
I mean,
it is what it is.
I know. I'm going to take a deep breath on that one because,
pause.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, C.J. Gardner-Johnson on this one. Dallas Goedert is better than Travis Kelce. Your thoughts? No, nobody's better than Travis Kelce.
Wide receiver, elite Eagles, middle of the pack, average for the Kansas City Chiefs.
You know, how do you define average? How do you define elite? A.J. Brown, fine, go with him. He's wonderful. He reads a book. But these guys for the Chiefs do their job in an elite way, right? Like Hollywood Brown gets open when Patrick Mahomes needs him to be open. DeAndre Hopkins will be there when Patrick Mahomes needs to count on a guy. You've got Xavier Worthy who's taken the – Xavier Worthy last night, just to kind of lay the land for everybody, there's about 11 guys from each team that get a podium because they're looked at as the biggest name players in their organization. Xavier Worthy had a podium last night where everybody was gathered around. That means the Chiefs in the NFL view him as one of the quote-unquote elite players in this game. If you don't think Xavier Worthy has arrived on the scene and is now trending towards to being one of the better wide receivers and weapons in the NFL, then you got to get onto this party bus, man, because Xavier Worthy was looked at last night by the league and considered by the league one of the top 11 players on the Chiefs last night.
Yeah, because I think one side was McDuffie, Mahomes, Kelce, Jones, Bolton.
Justin Reed.
That was the Chiefs sideline.
Yeah.
Then the other sideline, right there for you, was fan podium, Xavier Worthy, Andy Reid, DeAndre Hopkins, Harrison Butker, Isaiah Pacheco.
Yeah.
How about Xavier, man?
That's what I'm saying. Like, all of a sudden, Xavier Worthy is no longer just a guy that was drafted, by the Chiefs out of Texas in the first round. he has now moved into a category of you're part of this now. You're a big part of what we're doing here. And I also think Xavier Worthy is probably going to be a guy that is going to have a big game in the Super Bowl. It's his first opportunity on the big stage, and the guy does nothing but produce. And so I'm excited to see what he can do, you know, on this big stage. So he may have their wide receivers ahead of the, which is fine at this point in time. But talk to me about 9 o'clock on Sunday and see if we're still having the same conversation. Because if Xavier Worthy has a jet sweep for a touchdown and catches one up over the top, people are going to be talking about Xavier Worthy on Monday morning.
Elliott Shore Parks is the Twitter handle that you can go to find the rest of those. They have the defensive line, the linebackers. Chiefs win defensive line. Coach, somehow, Sirianni.
We're done. Yeah, I mean, he has Andy Reid and Sirianni both as elite coaches. That's, and again, right, I find myself as more of a Sirianni apologist than a lot of people, because I don't think you just stumble in to two Super Bowls in 3 years. And like
he's when you're supported with a gigantic roster and a gigantic body.
But head coaches can screw things up. I saw Todd Haley front and center, right? Like, I have seen coaches F things up. Todd Haley was 2-14. Andy Reid came in with essentially the same roster and went 11-5 the following year, right? Obviously a couple of changes here or there, but the majority of that roster,
different quarterback.
But even still, Andy Reid would never have gone 2-14.
No, but
with that roster,
Haley,
right?
Haley's roster and Sirianni. I mean, Sirianni's had the world.
He's had a great roster, but head coaches can screw it up. They really can. And Sirianni almost did with that, you know, that yelling at Kansas City 2 years ago, kind of derailed the rest of that season for the Eagles. They really never recovered after that.
1-7
7 of the last 8 games.
They won one game the rest of the way. So, like, head coaches can have that kind of impact of screwing things up. He does a great job of staying out of the way. But he's not elite. Like, when you say Nick Sirianni is elite and in the same category of Andy Reid, that sounds like bitter Philly. That just sounds like somebody who's trying to, you know, say we're better now that Andy Reid is got. Andy Reid's in a category all by himself, guys. Even Bill Belichick would tell you that. Andy Reid's here. Everybody else is here.
It's kind of putting, like, Jalen Hurts in the elite category quarterback.
Yeah.
So putting Sirianni in the elite coaching, whatever. I mean,
right,
he's got a good record. But let's see what he does in the big one. So you can watch this show on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Twitch, presented by our partners in Technology Group Solutions, the official IT provider of your Kansas City Chiefs. And don't forget, we are live on Radio Row in New Orleans, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Kansas City is gearing up for their third straight title, and Academy Sports and Outdoors has everything you need to rep your team during their historic run. Coming up on the other side, Chiefs great former wide receiver Danan Hughes, plus some Jameis Winston audio you'll want to hear that we got before we walked in to media night in the Superdome. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. All right, we're coming back to you live here on Radio Row. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens with you. Damn, glad to have you. And don't forget, the big game coverage on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Member-owned, open to all, invest in you. Join today at communityamerica.com. Danan Hughes joins us, right?
Yep.
I think we got him on the phone. So, Nathan, I know you're doing your magic back there. You can fire that button, and we'll get Danan Hughes on here.
Dusty, I haven't connected with Danan quite yet. Give me about 2 minutes here, and we'll get him on the line for you.
No worries, my man. We'll have Danan Hughes in about 2 minutes here on the show. Before we get into that, as Nathan does this work down the line, this is, I think, and I'm biased because I have no damn experience anywhere else. This has been awesome as a host city. I'm not going to lie.
No, it's the best. Like, I told people going in, New Orleans is the best. People want to argue that with me all the time. There's no place better to do the Super Bowl or the Final Four than New Orleans. And I was actually talking to somebody who's been to, you know, a couple of the other ones last year in Vegas and L.A., and they were kind of like, it's just so big and massive, and Phoenix is big and massive. This is a city that is small, walkable, and manageable, and there's something to do all over the city. It is an amazing place to be. It is an amazing host city. They do such a great job down here. And the cool thing about it is they're happy to have you, and they know what's going on. You go to a lot of these big cities, and I don't want to offend our friends to Dallas, but I told the story last week. We landed for the first Big 12 tournament in Dallas years ago, and the cab driver had no idea, like, it was even going on. You land here in New Orleans, you talk to people in New Orleans,
and
everybody's invested. Yeah, they're pissed. But they're invested. Everybody's involved. Everybody's making sure that you have a great time. It is an amazing host city, and there's none better, and I just wish the Super Bowl was here more often than not because of how great a city it is, how great a venue. How cool was it being in the Superdome for your first time last night,
awesome.
Right?
Like, it was awesome. How dare you get between the pile, you know, the lines. But
you were
still
on the field. You were in that
massive,
dome. You got
dude.
To see, like, one of the wonders of the world. I remember the first time as a kid when I saw that Superdome. We were driving in the old Toyota van. I'm like, wow, that's the coolest thing ever. And then, you know, having the opportunity to do these events over the years. And last night I went to the bathroom at the Superdome. They still have the troughs in there because it's an old school building. And
yeah, I was terrified when I walked in.
Oh, I love the troughs. I just think that's the best way to pee.
Some guy was just shaking like there was nobody around. I was like, absolutely not.
Yeah, there are some people that are like complaining about the troughs. I don't know why you complain about the troughs. It's the most effective way to urinate. And so they're there. They got this big circle thing for a the hand wash. You step on it like old school. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me of 2012 at the Final Four when they closed the bathroom. And like all of us are standing outside the bathroom. Like, what do you mean you closed the bathroom? Jay-Z's using it right now so nobody else can go in. They shut the bathroom down for Jay-Z and made everybody else wait.
Well, either way, our guy, it's time to get junky and funky. Danon Hughes on the show here on Fesco and Dustin. That's right, Danon Hughes brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. Danon, there was a lot of females looking at your boy last night rocking that lavender, whether you believe it or not. I know we ran into you. You know your boy doesn't lie to you. Just saying, the first night at the media night of the Super Bowl, kind of nice.
Yeah, you got the flex a little bit. I saw you out there. It's all right, man. Ain't nothing like being in New Orleans and bursting on the scene. So that's what you got to do when you're trying to go for a three-peat.
Yeah, you got to do that. You're down here early because you want to be involved in the atmosphere and all this kind of stuff. We were just talking about how great New Orleans is as a host city. And you know, since you've been doing this now, Dan, and you've got to go to a lot of these different Super Bowls, this one just hits different because it feels original. It feels like it's part of the NFL. It feels like what the Super Bowl is supposed to be, where the entire city is like, let's go for this big game.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of excitement. I'm not sure how I rank it yet. I think maybe later this week or probably as of game time, I'll be able to kind of rank them. Being in the booth for 5 years now and being to four Super Bowls, Tampa is kind of an outlier because of the COVID year. That was kind of weak. I think Tampa could be a really cool spot, you know, when you have full capacity and everything. But nevertheless, we're here. The excitement was real last night at opening ceremonies. It was real cool to see both teams out there, see all the media, the players out there seemed energized, Travis on stage. It was a real cool environment. It's my second year going to the opening ceremonies. I didn't go to the other two, but it was real cool. I got to see a lot of people, so I think this is the Super Bowl week, and we'll see how things go from here.
All right, we started the show talking about Patrick Mahomes being dialed in. I've got the video on my X account. I've got the picture up there as well where he was on stage looking kind of like, I'd rather be anywhere but here right now. And, like, he just had that, as Dusty referred to it, dad taking his kids third year in a row to Santa now. Let's go. Let's move this thing along. I got things to do. And then I started talking to people, Danon, as I tend to do, and they're like, yeah, he's effing dialed in, man. Like, I don't know your thoughts and your feelings about what you saw out of Patrick Mahomes, but I saw a guy last night and heard from enough people to say, this guy's ready to go. This is the one that Patrick Mahomes wants more than any other.
Yeah, I absolutely believe that. I think you come to a point, let's face it, we're spoiled in a good way because of the success that we've had with Patrick Mahomes, 7 straight AFC championships. Now we're talking about a fifth Super Bowl. So, like, I think that's par for the course where you get to a point where it's like, okay, let's accelerate this week to get to the game, because unlike the rest of us, those guys are not really partaking in a lot of the things that are happening in the French Quarter and around New Orleans. They are about the business at hand. They have a practice schedule. They have a routine. They can get a little bit outside of their normal routine because they're away for the entire week. But, I mean, can you blame them? I mean, you're on the cusp of creating history. Mm-hmm. A whole new history in the NFL and in the Chiefs' kingdom. And you don't want anything to happen. I was talking with some scouts last night, sitting around with coaches, mixing and mingling at the hotel and so on. And you always get the feeling like, okay, as soon as the week starts, you'd love to be able to press the fast forward button and get right to game time, because you don't want anybody stubbing a toe, twisting an ankle, you know, pulling a muscle in practice, anything to happen that could thwart your opportunity to create history. So I feel like that's where they're at now. They've been down this road several times, been a part of opening ceremonies. They've done the whole dog and pony show, and most of those guys are just ready to play football.
Danon, I think you probably got maybe the same vibe that I got last night. It seemed like everybody here was on a business trip. Nobody was really spouting off. Nobody was really kind of, you know, having like a super, you know, relaxed time. It was more so just get me through the motions, get me to my, you know, hotel room afterwards, and let's move on. And Bob alluded to the Patrick Mahomes kind of demeanor, but it was kind of like that for everybody. Like, nobody was really kind of, you know, it didn't seem like anybody's obviously their first ride. It seemed like everybody from, you know, us to them to, you know, even maybe some of the fans, like, let's get this thing going. I know it's only Monday night, but it seems like this is a business trip for a Super Bowl.
Yeah, and I will tell you this. It looked like that for the Philadelphia Eagles, too.
Yeah, right.
Being there all night and seeing those guys walk around the opening ceremonies outside the barricade, like, they looked like they were ready for business, too. And even their body language up on the stage when you had representatives from each team up there, I love to see the respect that Nick Sirianni and Andy Reid have for each other. You can tell that there's definitely a respect there. And I've always said you can say a lot, or you can tell a lot about how coaches are embraced and how other coaches feel about coaches by the midfield handshake at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what you got last night, is that those guys embraced a hug, a handshake. You had some laughs and chatter up there, even when the camera was not on Saquon Barkley and Travis Kelce. There was a lot of conversation going on. The same thing with Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes. So that's good to see. I mean, in the end, you know, they're professionals. Even though it's a game where we use the terms warriors and battles and fights and all that stuff, these guys have a genuine respect for each other. This is the best of the best that'll have an opportunity. They're looking for retribution. They're looking for redemption. And we're looking to set history. I think the storylines in this game match up so well for great entertainment. And in the end, that's what it is. I mean, we can watch. We can have passion. We can, you know, have the Super Bowl parties at home and everybody gather. And you have the halftime show and everything you look forward to. But in the end, You're going to be entertained, and that's the key point to that, and that's what we have to focus on.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a good point with the way that everybody was interacting last night, because, you know, I'd be remiss to say Philly wasn't dialed in as well, but Patrick just had that different look about him.
Yeah.
Like he was ready, like a stoic, like, I'm ready to crush you. And then I look at Saquon Barkley and Travis Kelce, which was a great duo to have together on the stage, mm-hmm. and I looked up, and Travis is making me smile. Then Saquon flashed his smile, and I just started smiling for Saquon Barkley, because for guys that go through, you know, playing for bad organizations that are good players, mm-hmm. you kind of feel for him, and now he has that opportunity, and the Chiefs will take that opportunity away from him. It just is, to me, it's, this week is reminiscent of that AFC Championship game where Derrick Henry was going to run all over the Chiefs. 69 yards later, Chiefs are on to the Super Bowl. I feel this is the week where everybody hypes Saquon Barkley, and Steve Spagnuolo is going to take out his bag of tricks and find a way to shut it down, because that's what he's done in the past, Danon.
Yeah, that's par for the course. That's what we do, and it's great to have an identity. You know, how fun is it, guys, that we have a team that we don't have to guess. We know what's going to show up. We know what they're going to put together. We know how they're going to execute. It's just a matter of if it's going to be a winning effort or not a winning effort. But it's not like we're thinking as fans, oh my gosh, they're going to have to come out and do something different. No, they just got to be who they are. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really cool feeling as a fan base, that if we are fully loaded for this game, outside of Rashee Rice, who hasn't been here most of the season. But outside of that, offense, defense, special teams, we are fully loaded. There are no question marks. There are no issues. There are no lingering injuries that we have to be concerned about. And, like, if you're talking about putting your best foot forward on the biggest stage – and the biggest opportunity of a lifetime for a lot of these guys. Like, we're sitting really good, but at the same time, I'm sure the Philadelphia Eagles are saying the same thing. I mean, they have a high-powered offense. Defense has really been playing strong. They run the ball extremely well. You know, I believe they're the fourth. I saw a stat the other day that said they are from rushing yards per game at 179 yards per game. They are the fourth team in NFL history to rush for that many yards and make it to the Super Bowl, and the other three teams were in the 1970s. So this is new territory, not just for the NFL, but also new territory for our defense to have to play a team that has really gobbled up chunks of yards on the ground. And you guys know, being around the game as long as you have and myself, there's nothing more debilitating to a defense. There's nothing more demoralizing to defensive players than a team that runs the ball down your throat.
Mm-hmm.
And you have no recourse and you can't do anything about it. And I'm sure that's probably the mindset that the Philadelphia Eagles are going to come into the game with, is that we're going to break your spirit by our run game. Now, we have something to say about that. And Spags has something to say about that. And that's what's going to make this game so cool. We're not talking about two super aerial attacks. We're talking about two teams that can methodically, you know, kill you throughout the game. And it's all about what the other team is going to do about it. It's about the counterpunch. And I think that's what we're going to look at in this matchup.
I'm so glad you said that, Dana, because I do have a question that I'm going to act like I know what I'm talking about when it comes to football, which clearly you see my body type. You're like, that guy never played football. So you talk about the counterpunch and in running the ball. And in the Buffalo game, I had a take that said whoever wins the coin toss and can defer will have the massive advantage, and I think we'll win the game. The Chiefs won the coin toss. They deferred. They won the game. I think in this situation, if the Chiefs do win the coin toss, I think you want to receive. And the reason I say that is because if you go down the field on a classic Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes drive where it's 12 plays, 6.5, 7.5 minutes, 7 points, that's going to let Philadelphia know, okay, here they are. This is that team. That's where the name on the front of the jersey, which, whatever. I get, you know what I'm saying? Like, here they are, yeah, as the Chiefs. That might steer them out of their way, because then if Philadelphia comes out and that defensive line is amped up and rested and ready to go, and they stop Philadelphia 3-and-out, let's say the Chiefs get the ball back, they go up 10-0. Man, Dana, it's really hard to run the ball, and if you can do that and take Saquon Barkley out of this and put the ball in Jalen Hurts' arms and hands and legs, I really, really think this whole game shifts into a completely different narrative if you do that and not defer but take the ball in the first half.
Yeah, I like that mindset. I don't think that's going to happen. I think this is here's the concern about something like that, is you get away from being yourself. And Andy Reid has just never been that kind of coach. Now, conversely, the coolest thing is that we forced other teams to be that kind of team. And like you mentioned about the Ravens last year, John Harbaugh, they did not go into that week preparing to play the Chiefs and say, we're going to run the ball a handful of times, but they did. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the game even last week against the Bills, like, you got James Cook that was doing a nice job,
yeah,
doing some damage early in the game, and I'm sure in their mind they thought, you know what, if this game is close, we're going to stick with what brought us here. We're going to stick with the success that we had early in the game. And in the fourth quarter, he was insignificant, especially in the final drive. So, like, I think we have always done a good job, and not just a good job, a great job of forcing teams outside of themselves. And, yeah, although that would be the case, I feel like just by our presence and our game plan and executing our game plan, Nick Sirianni is going to have to make some decisions, and it might be outside of the norm for them. Who knows? He may get outside of running the ball from Saquon Barkley if we're able to move the ball down the field. Who knows if he's going to roll the dice and do something crazy on either on special teams or on offense with trick plays or something like that to try to throw us off. What I do know is that we don't have to resort to any of that. Like, we are who we are. We have an identity. We have a championship identity. And if we just go out and do what we do, then we'll be victorious like we have in other Super Bowls and all of this season. So I anticipate if we win the coin toss, we'll defer. because you want to be able to have the opportunity at two consecutive possessions, one to end the half and then to open the third quarter. And if you're able to score on those two possessions or suck up a lot of time, that's when you start to see the other team unravel a little bit and decide that they need to get chunks of yardage, and maybe we'll see them put the ball in Jalen Hurts' hands to throw them to victory. And if they do that and get away from Saquon Barkley running, then I like our chances even more.
All right, Dan, and I want to play a quick piece of audio for you and get your reaction. I want you to listen for the pause. And we talked to CJ Gardner-Johnson. Nathan, I think you have that cut ready to go. If you could play that cut for Dan. And Dan, I want your reaction when you hear the question, the pause, and then the answer.
All right. I got football game at 10-2.
No doubt. What's the number one thing you got to do to stop Mahomes?
I don't know. I guess play football.
Dan, your thoughts.
I feel from a football player standpoint, if I put myself back into that mindset, he wanted to say something that was going to be controversial. Mm-hmm. He wanted to say something that he probably has said all week long in the locker room and probably will say on the sideline, but did not want to give us that nugget there. Maybe something about hitting him in the mouth or knock him around or make him pay when he runs or different things like that. But the pregnant pause, you know, spoke volumes, I guess you can say. So just fill in the blank yourself, but I'm sure from a defensive perspective, it was something that he did not want to put out there, especially to poke the bear in Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, it was a 3.8-second pause, my friend. It was an eternity.
Yeah, I don't even think Arises had a punt last that long in the air this year.
That's right, yeah, when you think about it that way. Yeah.
Hey, Dan, enjoy the game, man. Go for that three-peat. You know, all your stuff take care, be safe, be easy, and enjoy the game, brother.
Yep, we'll see you guys around.
All right.
That's Dana News brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefits of blue. Coming up on the other side, you know it's coming, and you know it's going to happen, but there's going to be a local story. Let's just see how close we can get when it's all said and done. Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. All right, Bob, we're back here on Radio Row live in New Orleans.
Yep, and it's time to play that Name the Year game, Dusty, with Hy-Vee, right? Right now, we're going to play a highlight. If you are the correct caller, number 5, and you know the year that the highlight was played from, then you will qualify to win a $500 Hy-Vee gift card, which will be given away at the end of the week. We'll take one qualifier each week, or each day this week, and of the 5 qualifiers, we will have a winner at the end of the week for that $500 Hy-Vee gift card. And don't forget, Hy-Vee has everything you need in one spot. It's the official grocer of the Chiefs, Chiefs apparel, party supplies, cookies, all that great stuff at Hy-Vee, everything you need for the big game. Nathan, play that highlight.
And Chad Henne will be in the shotgun here with second down and goal to go at the 1. 10-7 Kansas City. 4 minutes to go in the second quarter. McKinnon coming on sprint action. Now they throw it near side. Kelsey's got it. Touchdown! Kansas City sprinting inside the near front pylon. And Chad Henne leads a 98-yard Chiefs touchdown drive.
If you know the year in which that highlight happened, be caller number 5913-586-7965, and you will be today's qualifier for the $500 Hy-Vee gift card. We'll give you an opportunity this time tomorrow to qualify again.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything more awkward than someone clearly recording when they walk somewhere?
I don't know. Yeah, like
I mean, you knew. He was like, come around. He's like, just clearly that guy's got a recording of. So yesterday we had our first lunch experience in New Orleans, right? We had some mothers.
Yeah, took you all the mothers. Yeah, we can go back again, get a different entree today if you want.
I mean, I need the etouffee. I've crossed the po' boy off. We've crossed the oysters off.
That's right.
The gators crossed off.
Yep.
So that's 3.
Beignets will be about 10:30 today.
That's today.
Yep.
And then we still have the etouffee, still need to do gumbo and jambalaya.
Then
I'm done. I think I can knock a lot of those out in one setting.
Yeah.
But Mac, we have a server yesterday, and he's kind of talking to us, and he's got that, all right, now, you know, that kind of New Orleans,
real
thing,
thick,
you know, real thick
Cajun accent.
He goes out to bang a dart, and this is what he and Mac talked about.
Outside Mother's Restaurant here in New Orleans with one of the servers there. What's your name, man?
Mark.
Mark, man, how long have you been working here?
Oh, about almost 5 years now.
How long have you lived in New Orleans?
Oh, it's about all my life, man.
Well, tell me a little bit about Mother's Restaurant, man. Seems like a very down-to-earth part of New Orleans?
Local food, home style. Basically, I would call it a soul food restaurant.
What's your favorite item?
I like a crawfish set effect. We put a lot of crawfish tails in there. It's really good.
Okay, great. What's the most most ordered item here?
Gotta be the famous Ferg special. I mean, we've been televised for it several times. You know, we're famous for that sandwich.
What's your favorite thing about New Orleans?
Well, the people, the culture. We all cool to each other. You know what I mean? Everybody gets along. We want big gumbo pot around here.
You got anyone in the Super Bowl? You rooting for anyone?
Say that one more time.
Anyone you're rooting for in the Super Bowl?
Not really. I don't like the teams to make. I'm getting tired of seeing Kansas City up in there 3 years in a row, you know. They need another new team up in there. Those should have had that. They keep getting robbed.
All right, thanks, Ben.
Oh, absolutely, man.
That's great. That's very old Mac Morris. I told you, man. You got a lot of talent in now. Grab a stick of butter now.
Yeah.
Bam!
A stick of butter's on every sandwich down here.
I don't care. I came here with no judgment.
No.
I don't want to see or hear anybody be like, dude, you're going to finish that? Like, yes, I am.
Yes, I am. Yeah, like, because I ordered that po' boy yesterday, and it's shrimp, and they're piling the shrimp on. The guy's like, you want a full one? I do want a full one.
Is that a serious question,
right? Yeah, right. The Ferdy special you got to get to, it's like beef, and they dunk it and all
we
that.
We got to go back to Mother's.
We should go back to Mother's.
When he said that, it's fair now, a lot of tails in it now. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, all right, man, we got to drill that, dude.
Yeah,
like,
we got
to hit that.
Got to hit it back.
Because I was going to order it because I didn't see the po' boy on the menu.
Right.
And then you went first. You're like, I'm going to do the shrimp po' boy. And he was like, the half or the full? And you're at the full. I'm like, okay. Bob's ass is getting a po' boy. I didn't know they had one. I'm just going to say what he said. And I promise you, I was getting ready to order the large etouffee and be good with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I'm 100% saying that word wrong and with a Missouri accent, but come on now. You know, but we were sitting up on the roof the other night, and we were just thinking to ourselves, you know, and what inspired this from doing this is the plane has landed. Well,
right.
I'm glad.
Right.
The teams are in New Orleans. Well, that's where the Super Bowl is.
Yep.
And then we were thinking to ourselves, you know, there's always those stories on the news. And I wish I would have recorded the outlet that I watch. And again, this is nothing towards the news, but everybody has the same role, just like we have the same. Mac was probably told, like, there's probably going to be an interview with the New Orleans sort of guy on the street. That's the checklist, right?
Right.
There's always those checklist items in the Super Bowl, like local artist moves to New Orleans but is a Chiefs fan. We'll have more at 9.
Right.
You know, there's
MMA Thompson used to live in Raytown, and she's relocated to New Orleans and is coming up with some of the greatest artwork New Orleans has seen, and it comes right from Kansas City.
Yeah, what would it look like if Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift were into voodoo? Local KC artist has moved to New Orleans, and that's her specialty.
Yes.
There's also the local baker local barbecue guy.
Mm-hmm.
So why aren't you in Kansas City anymore? Well, I just figured I'd move down here to New Orleans and give these people a little taste of stuff that we do in Kansas City, because I really love Creole food, and I'm from Kansas City. It just so happens they're in the Super Bowl this year, so we're really excited.
Right.
Gary has been smoking meat for about 40 years. This will be his first time ever seeing his team in the Super Bowl, or at 6.
Right. Coming up tonight at 9, we talk to a man whose grandfather was on the grounds crew for Super Bowl IV at Tulane Stadium when the Chiefs won their first Super Bowl, and he now works at the Superdome. We'll have more at 6.
Kansas City, known for the blues and jazz, one local artist has moved to New Orleans to bring some of that KC soul to the Creole.
That's right. So-and-so has a grandma whose cousin moved to New Orleans a few years ago, and lo and behold, won Super Bowl tickets in a local raffle, and she gets to see her team up close and in person in the Super Bowl. We'll talk to Betty Ray coming up next.
That's right. I will say this. What would you say is one of the topics? 913-795-7. I don't even know the number.
913-576.
No.
7965.
It's 586.
There you guys go.
Oh, it is? 913-586-7965.
Don't tell me. 586-7965 with that 913 area code. I told you, man. You get out here
so confidently.
I give the wrong phone number then for the IV contest, too?
Yeah.
Well, Nathan, did we get a winner?
Sports Radio.
We got a winner. The winner apparently didn't have as many hurricanes as you guys had last night. So,
Our winner last night is Joseph from KCMO.
Yeah.
Nathan, I also heard there's this thing called the hand grenade. I'm terrified if I should get a hand grenade and a hurricane.
No. It's one or the other, and it's one of each. Yeah,
if you didn't have the hand grenade last night, I say you're good. I think whatever you guys did worked.
Oh, we just went to the media thing last night, man. That was
sleep deprivation. Okay.
Yeah. All right. That's exactly what it is. No, it's no sleep. But also too, we'll continue to keep you posted on. So we got the phone number right. We got the winner. We're good to go, and everybody's happy. That's all that matters, right?
Yeah, Bob. You know what year this is from, Dusty?
I'm going to say 2021.
Dusty.
2022.
Dusty's right. So it's the 2022 season, actually in January of 23, in that divisional game against the Jaguars, Chad Henne, 98-yard touchdown.
Anything is possible, baby.
There is. Don't you talk about Henne. I'll tell you what, man.
One of the best-looking backup quarterbacks ever to play the game. Nick Foles, he was great-looking from the neck down. Chad Henne, full body, baby. I can tell you that much. The Henne effect. Coming up on the other side, Clark Hunt will join us at 8:15 here on Radio Row. Plus, you can hear plenty more of what we have to think about what is coming up here for the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, because we go from guess the package to it's not just the weathermen who are fear-mongers, it's other people. They did it last year. They're doing it again this year. Same position, different name. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty with our producer, Mac, here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Yeah, I'm getting tired of seeing Kansas City up in there 3 years in a row, you know. We need another new team up in there.